Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week, we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, beginning with the 7th chapter at the 37th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus set out, and he went away to the region of Tyre. And there he entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. A woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syro-Phoenician origin, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter, and he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home. And she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. And then he returned from the region of Tyre, and he went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And he took the man aside in private away from the crowd and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that means "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. The more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed. They were astounded beyond measure and said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. This is the gospel of the Lord." Praise you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we have what I would call a challenging gospel. And it gives us pause and it stirs up some questions like, where's the good news in this story? Or what is the good news? Or for whom is this good news intended? What we note is that Jesus is on the move. He's crossed the border to the region of Tyre, and that is a Gentile country. And in the passage before our reading, Jesus declares the purity law of the Pharisees will be null and void. He calls them to look past the words of that law and tells them that nothing they eat can defile them. In other words, Jesus is declaring all food clean, and he says that what really comes out of a, and he tells us what it is that really comes out of a person and defiles. Continuing, he explains that it is from our heart that cruelty and meanness and bias and anger, indifference and arrogance, they come from. And so we ask ourselves, well, why do such hurtful words spurt from his mouth when the Syro-Phoenician woman approaches him and begs him to heal her daughter? Why does he do that? We believe and profess that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. And this week we encounter Jesus in all of his humanity. Why else would he be so rude or dismissive Why would he respond to this Gentile woman's plea with these words, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs"? Well, our text certainly makes it clear Jesus wants to be left alone. And we ask ourselves, well, could it be that his spiritual well inside is sort of dry and he wants or needs to replenish that before continuing with his mission, his ministry? After all, he postponed his retreat with his disciples to show compassion to the crowds, to feed the multitudes, to heal the sick, and to free all those possessed by demons. He has confronted the Pharisees and mentored his disciples. So perhaps Jesus is just spiritually, physically, and emotionally depleted. Maybe he's just plain exhausted and really needs a break. But that's not how it turns out. Like the crowds that followed him around this Syrophoenician lady, she finds it. And this unnamed woman who comes to Jesus is obviously, she's exhausted herself. Her daughter, we are told, is demon-possessed. And we have learned from other gospel passages that those who are described as possessed sometimes lash out. They experience convulsions and they tend to harm themselves as well as anyone else. No one would want to invite them over for dinner. The mother is exhausted and she wants her child to be well. She needs a break too. It's surprising that instead of showing compassion for this woman, Jesus speaks down to her. For centuries, scholars have tried to explain away Jesus' words to this woman. Some believe Jesus was testing the woman's faith, while others wonder if Jesus was using the biases and entitlements of his day to teach the crowd a lesson. Still others propose that Jesus did not fully understand the whole scope of his mission. But truthfully, the people of that day would not have found Jesus' response to her out of the ordinary. At that time, women were forbidden from approaching male strangers and speaking to them. And Gentile women were especially to be ignored because they were perceived to be part of an unclean race. There was probably no rabbi at that time who would have even spoken to this woman. Yet Jesus did that, even if it turns out to be in a demeaning way. When Jesus responds this way, when he says, "Let the children be fed first," the woman, she doesn't question Jesus. As one commentator suggests, she accepts the analogy and its implication, only pointing out that when the children are fed, the dogs also get some benefit incidentally. Why did Mark keep the story of his gospel? Since it obviously portrays Jesus as one who doesn't have a lot of patience or compassion on this day. One scholar believes Mark kept the story because the Syrophoenician woman was a transformer, just like Jesus himself. She does not break down, rather she does what Jesus is known for doing with all who question him. The woman accepts Jesus' response. She stands up to the meaning of his response, and then she turns it on its head. And Jesus accepts this instruction from this gendered outsider who challenges him. He allows her to school him in his own good news. She succeeds in deconstructing his bias and entitlement and crosses the line he has drawn in the sand between the two of them. So when Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first," some believe he is implying that the time, well, it's just not right. It's not necessarily saying no. He's more like saying not yet. Jesus seems to be suggesting that others may be fed, but in time. But for now, his mission is to feed the children of Israel. But this desperate mother is not leaving without the blessing she seeks. She's heard about Jesus. She's heard about his power and about his compassion, about his ability to make the impossible possible. She refused to believe that a loving and gracious God would not want all people filled, all people to be healed. So this Jesus, who was not known for losing verbal contests, yields to her with these simple words. He says, "For saying that you may go, the demon has left your daughter." The woman's faith and persistence teach Jesus that his mission is a heck of a lot bigger than he imagined. And she opened his eyes to the fact that God's love and mercy transcend all boundaries. Some of us, meaning you and me, draw lines between ourselves and those we consider as other. We sometimes place limits on what we can do and whom we can help. We're fearful of others who maybe aren't quite like us, never taking time to listen to the other person's story. We make unconscious judgments each day about who deserves help and who deserves our kindness, our attention, and even God's favor. It's easy for us to grow complacent about how we treat the stranger and those who are different from us. But there's good news. And the good news is that Jesus worked through his own complacency, and he saw God's presence in this woman who is the outsider. There's no doubt here that Mark sees Jesus' confrontation with the Syrophoenician woman as a pivotal moment. And he shows it in this way. He records that when Jesus leaves her after granting her request, he doesn't go back to his own home and his own people. Instead, he goes immediately to the Decapolis, a network of 10 Greek cities, where there he heals a deaf man with a speech impediment. And he goes on to feed 4,000 Gentiles and even has leftovers. The mother's persistence benefited more than her daughter. She was instrumental in jump-starting Jesus' ministry to all people. Now we now are the children of God. And if we identify with this Syrophoenician woman begging for crumbs, it reminds us of something. We're reminded Jesus does not leave any of us hungry, sick, or tired. Jesus claims all of us as God's beloved children. Children from every tribe and every language and every nation. Even crumbs from the table proved to be enough for our own healing and salvation. But Jesus gives us more than that. He provides an abundant, life-giving feast for us all. And that, my friends, is the good news in this gospel for today. So as we journey through life, may we be aware of the Syrophoenician women who exist within and outside of our own communities. May we approach Jesus on their behalf and actively seek ways to bring about the well-being of those in need. Don't you think each Saturday between 11 and 1, the Syrophoenician ladies of our community are showing up and knocking on the door of this church? May we therefore strive to be Christ's hands and feet in providing crumbs for healing Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.